We're all virtually limitless.
This podcast is to provide a space for people to grow,
to rise,
and build. This is for the people that are ready to step up and make moves, no matter where they came from. Welcome to the podcast.
Virtually limitless. This life we live, we get to choose. We can make excuses or make moves.
It's up to you.
Yeah, your network is your network.
So find your tribe or build it.
There's some change about to happen. I can feel it. Oh, this life we were given it. So take advantage, start living
it. I'm on a mission, new beginnings to start living.
Yeah, virtually limitless.
You are tuning in to another episode of.
This is another episode of Virtually Limitless. Limitless.
All right, you guys, welcome back to Virtually Limitless. This is your co-host, Justine Mader, and I am so thrilled to be bringing on just a gem of an interview today. We have the leader and host of the Fit and Faith podcast with us today. Tamara Andress is so powerful in her, not only presentation in her business, but in how she embraces it in her life. And that's why we like to bring these just incredible heroes to the show, because we want it all. You guys, we want life, we want business, we want faith, we want fitness, we want it all. So without further ado, Tamara, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. And I love that you embrace it all, because so often people want to segment themselves into like one thing. And I get niching, I understand, or niching, however you want to say it.
Right.
But at the end of the day, like, God made us multifaceted, multi-passionate for a reason, and we should embrace that. So I love, we'll talk about all the things. Let's go there.
Oh my gosh, yes. All the things. Well, it's so funny because people ask me too, they're like, well, how do you do it all? And one of the last podcasts I did with Esprit Devona. I just botched her last name. Anyways, Esprit did a fantastic interview with us, and we were talking about how, you know, you can have 10 different pairs of sunglasses. You can't wear them all at the same time, but when you wear each pair, you wear it just like,
right.
And so it's one of those things where I love to think about Proverbs 31 personally. Mm-hmm. And for those of you that don't know that verse, that's where God talks about the power of a woman. And, you know, this could be true for a man as well, but it really highlights the fact that she is strength. She is dignity. Mm-hmm. She is knowledgeable. She is wisdom. She has all these different gifts and talents. Yeah. In so many different areas. And I would just love for you, you know, Tamara, how was that journey for you, and, you know, coming into business, fearing that, you know, am I spread too thin? Can I have it all? What was that adventure like for you? And I say adventure because it's crazy, but it's also fun. So I would love to have just a little insight with our listeners onto like what that was like for you.
Yeah. So I immediately jumped into the world of entrepreneurship right out of school. I did a business plan my junior year of college, and we decided, my mom and I, who she actually had given our business group the idea, that we were going to jump right in, her and I. So I never went to a job fair, never did a resume. I was just like, I know that I'm meant to be an entrepreneur, which is scary. I, you know, waitressed and bartended and did a lot of side hustles in the middle of it all. But we pursued that. And I feel like I actually did it wrong, because I was trying to, one, stay within a niche. And I was also, two, really just driven around the financial reward. And when I did that and I put money before my heart, before my family, before many things, it destroyed me. Tell people that I had a quarter life crisis, and I'm so grateful that I did, but it was not fun in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And I don't look forward and don't plan on ever having another one. My midlife is going to be like skyrocketing because Jesus met me early, and I am so grateful.
Amen.
For that. Or I met Jesus early. He's been there all along. I just finally had my scales removed. So anyhow, in that journey for me, I didn't wear all the hats well. I was not really focused in on the fact that I could be multi-passionate. And I was trying to do everything based on just an eager desire for the quote unquote American dream. And at the time, from the outside looking in, it appeared that I had it. I had two kids at the time, a boy and a girl, boy first, girl younger, right? I had my husband, we had the house with the picket fence and two really nice cars. He was also an entrepreneur.
Oh,
and,
wow, cool.
So that is an interesting lifestyle in and of itself still to this day. But there was the time frame where I just realized that I had a choice. I had a choice to really lead the life that I want my tombstone to say, or lead to burnout, depression, anxiety, overwhelm, lies, wearing a mask that it wasn't mine, and truly not even knowing who I was. And so for all of my 20s, I lived that way. Of course, I had like great friendships and I was married happily, but I was making choices even in my marriage that was causing destruction. And so at that time, I actually let go of two businesses that I was the CEO of at that point. One was a boutique and one was a global company, which was a nursing bra company that I had helped co-design from a designer from Australia. So it was like a really big ordeal, but I was working 60, 70 hour weeks and I had a one-year-old and a two-year-old at the time. So I learned how not to do it. And so when I stepped back into the world of entrepreneurship and wanting to teach people, my heart was really how to teach people what not to do. And I feel like that's not often how the strategy is. It's the coaching mechanism of look at me, this is what I did, follow these systems and you'll be great in making lots of money.
Yes.
And I believe in wealth, but I know that wealth has not always just to do with money. There is the wealth of all the fruits of the spirit. So the wealth of joy, the wealth of peace, the wealth of goodness, kindness, overflow, self-control. That's one I had to work on the hard way. Forbearance, realizing that you don't get everything that you want when you want it, that God has a process and a timing for everything. And so it's been a new revived journey, and to now get to see from those lessons how I can serve other people and see them transform their own lives and be able to truly be that multi-passionate, wealth-inspiring person has been really cool.
Oh my gosh, it's so powerful because it's one of those things where, like you said, the typical entrepreneur face is going to be, you know, this is what I did, look at this, look at me, look at me. And I love how in your journey, what you actually did was turn the mirror to reflect, hey, look at God, look at what God's given you, look at what God's given me and shown me through my experience. I don't want you to go through that valley. I want you to reach the heights that He has set for you. But it was instead of turning that to reflect yourself, you wanted it to reflect something even greater, which that is just totally dear to my heart. And I just love that message through you. That's so, so powerful. And it's one of those things, like, it's part of a bigger picture. You were driven by something so much more. And even now coming back into the game, right? It's one of those things where you're probably even more on fire because you're like, I don't want you to do what I did, feel the pain that I had. God may have different, you know, valleys and areas of growth for you, but if I can spare you from this one, please listen, please watch and learn. Oh, that's so incredible.
Yeah. And it's really cool. And it's what's really neat too, is that you do as a business coach realize when you can help people, specifically as a Christian business coach, that's really the variable. And the only reason that I'm able to stand here in that regard is because I don't ask people, what's your idea? I ask people, what's like your God deposited dream? What's the vision that He's gifted you? Not something that you think you can self-make, even if it's a product. This is like this idea, right? There's this a guy local to my co-working space. His name is Kobe, and he has Ardent Candle. And he's a 22-year-old. He had an idea that he wanted to start a candle company. And he was in high school when it started, and it's done really well. And he's in college and working himself through. He just went TikTok viral in the last week. Yeah, it's so rad. His company has just skyrocketed. And I know and I can see from the heart, not only that he has, but the heart that his mother has instilled in him, which is another whole conversation, that this is not going to be a crash and burn experience for him because he's rooted and he's grounded. And it's a gift from God that he is where he is. And he recognizes that it was not self-made. However, it takes our obedience and our discipline to help cultivate what the potter is going to eventually serve up as his perfect masterpiece.
So incredible. And for me too, like when I work with women, especially too, it's one of those things where it's like the seeds were already planted. It's just your job to be the gardener. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like, we didn't choose what seeds were put in our place. We didn't choose the purpose that we would fulfill one day. It's just, we get to choose to either do it or not. Like, it's so simple. But I guess my question for you, while I got you on here, Tamara, why do big people, big wigs, gurus, leaders in life and business, why do they overcomplicate it? I feel like it humbly that they're taking God out of it. And that's coming from a very strong believer. So for those of you that resonate with this, that's my humble opinion. Because I believe with God, all things are possible. And if you're called to do something, come hell or high water, you're going to do it. But why would society turn the tables? And what has your experience been kind of fighting that grain? Because that's not how you are. I can feel that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's ultimately like the carnal sins, right? It's greed. Mm. That's a huge part of it. That was, you know, part of my story that I shared. It's pride. It's, I want the recognition. I want to be famous, right? And that's just, fame has its own problems. Yes. Everything that you think is good, especially as a young age, maybe even being rich, mm-hmm. is a great thing, but it has its own problems. We see this every single day, sadly, in what we would consider the life of the rich and famous, right? It's like thinking of people like Robin Williams, right? He's like the most joy-giving, life-giving person. And yet something inside of him mentally and probably physically, like there was ailments because of these places that they're in. So why do they overcomplicate it? I don't think they know. I don't think they actually know themselves. They don't see themselves through the simplistic lens of love, of the simplistic lens of grace. And even the church, and we can talk and point, raise our own hands. We have this way of overcomplicating scripture. Mm-hmm. Overcomplicating the Bible, overcomplicating religion. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole reason that denominations exist. And that was never the heart of God. Mm-mm. His heart for us was to all be in unity together. And the break, the continual break in society, whether you want to go into politics, religion, equity, any of those things,
it
happens because there's a lack of self-identity through the creator, through the maker. Because I can tell you when I finally was like, I white flag, hands up, I don't own this. I can't make this myself. I don't want to figure it all out. I want you to do this for me because I am imperfectly weak. Yeah. And in your strength, I exist. Mm-hmm. I was finally able to understand the word empathy. I was finally able to understand the word mercy and grace and to be able to look at other people who I had previously judged as my brother and my sister and say, I see you, I get you. And I want to link arms with you in this process of growth and this process of becoming, because we're all imperfect and we have an opportunity to walk in tandem with the Holy Spirit and who he'd have us be. But we also have freedom of choice to go the opposite way.
Truly.
And so the complication is truly just humanistic imperfection.
Yeah.
That's it.
Oh, that's so powerful. And it's one of those things, guys, where, you know, the focus has so much been on, you know, the wealth, the perfection, you know, the obtaining all the things of this world. It's one of those things where it's like, but what do you leave behind you?
Yeah. Yeah. What you can't take it with you to heaven.
No.
You can't take it with you.
And it's one of those
things. No U-Haul goes to heaven.
That's so true. I love that phrase. Oh, I'm going to totally have to take that. No U-Haul. Oh, that's so good. But it's one of those things where, you know, it's so easy to focus on the building, but if you're building with a purpose, and because, you know, wealth in and of itself is not evil, you know, creating opportunities, that is not evil. We are not saying that. What we're saying is that to have that love rooted in those things is that's it's not going to stand. It's going to be like a house on sand. You guys, you can't go that. We don't want you to go that way. But if you're building it with that purpose, with that vision to create a legacy of something that gives back life, gives back love, gives back opportunities for, you know, posterity to come, that's what I believe our Lord intended, and gives us each a single puzzle piece to create the masterpiece in the end. And that's where we're asking and encouraging each and every one of you to put your piece of the puzzle forward. So putting your piece forward kind of started, like you said, right after high school. You kind of jumped on the boat. You didn't realize that you were kind of heading the wrong direction. On the trip back in, you know, when you reset everything, what was that journey and vision of discovering what the new you was like? Because I think a lot of people had that kind of awakening, like they woke up on the boat and was like, oh my gosh, 2020, this is not who I am. This is not what I want. And I think whether you're a believer or not, you were caused to reconsider what the heck is going on.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. During that time for me, it was really that self-evaluation. It was God literally, I mean, I remember the prayer. I remember the moment. I remember where my feet were planted in our old house and feeling the sense that Jesus was taking what was shame, what was downcast eyes, taking my chin and lifting it to his eyes. And first off, knowing immediately that there was just an immense love. And I believe that I was gifted the opportunity of motherhood before my crash and burn moment, because I could not possibly understand the weight of that love and how, as a mom, my kids can do no wrong, right? And I, of course, they do wrong all the time.
Hey, I got two of again, them. I get it. Right? I get it. Yes, absolutely.
But it comes back to that moment every single time. I don't need them to apologize. I don't need them to feel shame, guilt. I don't need them to do anything. I can just lock eyes with them, and they know without a shadow of a doubt that I love them and that I see them. And so that was the first time in my life that I ever sensed that, even though I had been on a journey with Jesus since I was 14, I never understood or was able to unlock what Christianity, what his life actually meant. And so in that next season where I literally left everything behind beyond, except for my husband and my children, thank you, Jesus, for that gift of continued gift. And I had to start over. I couldn't even brush my teeth in the mirror for a month. I didn't know who that person was. I couldn't recognize that person. I didn't know where she was going or what her purpose was. My child was wiping my tears away in the evening. I had to just wake up and live for them. And in that season, I got introduced to what is called Burn 24/7, which was a year-long worship experience where you learned how to worship, the heart of worship, what revival means, what intimacy means with God. And it was an at-home like schooling thing. And because I was an achiever and a doer, it felt like something was normal. And I was like, okay, I have assignments. I need to read this book. I need to worship with this song, and I can show up in this way. And in that process, God just removed that striving. He removed that need for perfection. I understood what progression versus perfection actually meant. I ended up pursuing my a 2-year ordination and minister's licensing. And during that time was the true evolution of what my next steps were. And so the biggest thing that I want people to recognize is this is not an overnight switch. It was 3 years of like really diving into who God wanted me to be, what the word said about me, completing affirmations over that person so I could stand in front of the mirror again, let alone make eye contact with my husband, let alone make eye contact with a stranger, which if I am called to love my neighbor as myself and I can't look at that person, there's something that I need to work on internally. Yeah. And so in that process is when I was really dissecting, what are my passions? What am I good at? And I just started activating as a neighbor. I just started activating as a friend and a sister and a human for the first time in my entire life, with all walls down, with all masks to the side. And just, this is me. I didn't have makeup on. I was been crying half the time. And I just would show up, because that's all I could muster up the strength to do. And even in that strength, I was fully relying on the Lord, because I wanted to just stay in bed. But you have two kids, you don't have that choice. So one, that it's a process, and I have not made it. I won't make it until I'm standing face to face with my Father in heaven. And so realizing that it's a continual process, it's a continual step of obedience and discipline. And then also that God does speak to us. He does reveal his nature and his character. It might not be this audible, hello, Tamara, I'm talking down from heaven.
Wouldn't that make life easy? Sorry, that's a side note. I interrupted. Keep going.
It so would. Or like through another person, maybe they're speaking to you in your prayer life, through vision, through illuminated words on a page, anything, any way, is the recognition that as you seek, you will find. And when we come into a place of prayer with God that is not just you asking for something, he actually starts speaking, because you're just there to worship and you're just there to praise and you're just there to spend and send gratitude. Then he's like, let me now lavish you with the things that you can steward well.
Yes.
Because if you're always in prayer, I need, which my kids do to me all the time, you get a little frustrated. Okay.
Oh, yes.
You get a little frustrated.
True story.
And you want to give them actually more, which is what our Father wants from us. He wants so desperately to actually exceedingly and abundantly bless you. And that's where I feel living a life of wealth actually exist. And that's where he can actually do that, because you're stewarding what little he gives you well, he'll give you more. So whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a wife or a mom or a brother or a sister or a friend, if you can't steward one friend well, if you can't be in good relationship with one, you're going to remain lonely.
So huge, because it's one of those things where people are like, why won't he bless me with the next level? And I'm like, what did you do at this level? You know, and I have to ask myself that every single time, because, you know, whether it's in the eyes of a mother or, like I said, looking through those sunglasses, whether I'm looking through the lens of mom or wife or, you know, business owner or, you know, collaborator, it's one of those things where it's like, what did I do with what was given to me first?
Yeah.
So it's like, consider what the heck you have, them, you know, how many followers you have, how are you blessing them? How are you supporting them? How are you leading them? Are you not leading them? Are you, you know, taking them south when you should be heading to follow the North Star? Like, you know, which and what, so that you can figure out what the next steps are for you to take that next level and be, how would you say, a good steward of that next level, because that's truly what we all want to become, you know, whether we're believer or not. And it's one of those things that, you know, but we overcomplicate it. So this is the simplification of all those things that we've been thinking about and probably wrestling with ourselves during this crazy time. You guys, it's one of those things where it's like, what are you doing with the time that has been given to you? What are you doing with the supplies, the finances, with what you have? Do the best that you can so that you can become then a good instrument in the next level, in the next stage. I have a friend that likes to call life Jumanji. And I love that phrase. And it's so funny because it's one of those things where, like, you know, even when you're doing everything right, things can go wrong. And it's just one of those things where it's like, but if you're already preparing for yourself to become that best version, that loving neighbor, when you love yourself and you're able to bless yourself even in times of pain and suffering, it's one of those things where then you'll in turn be able to do that for another person, and then before you know it, you have a following and you have people that are looking up to you in times of need. And that's where you can create not only ripples of impact but waves. And so I just love that that's the whole message behind how you were moving forward through that phase in your life and till today, because like I said, we're all in the trenches. Like she has a leading podcast, you guys, like she's the bee's knees, but at the same time, she's sitting here before me just being a gem of a soul, because she's still a raw and real human and she's doing the thing. She's not talking about the thing, she's doing it. And I think whether you're focused on your life, your business, your relationships, we have to be actively participating in whatever it is that we're doing to see results, to be blessed. We need to be doing, you know, I think a lot of people expect God, and, you know, give me your thoughts on this too, Tamara. I feel like a lot of people expect God to just drop it on them versus meet him doing it.
So good.
And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, I can't do it all. Heck, I know I can't, but that doesn't discredit the fact that I can't do something. Right.
Yeah. So good.
Like, what can we do so that he can do the rest?
Yes. Yeah. Well, everyone wants the finished product, right?
Yes.
Everyone wants, and that's why people call us a microwave society, a convenient society.
True.
We're all spoiled rotten. We've got the answers to everything right in our hand and our phone, every given thing. And yet we used to have to like go to the encyclopedia. We used to have to go to the dictionary. We used to have to go do and process and actually be very present. And now presence is actually taken away, which I think is honestly the presence which has been removed even from society, right? Of his presence.
So good.
And so wanting so deeply to invest and teach people how to get present again, it's a process, and it's a showing up for yourself in order to meet him who's already present and who's already there. And so there's people in my circles, right, who have been asking me recently, like, I want to know what you actually are doing every day, because you're existing in overflow. And I see that you're existing in overflow, and I want to experience that, but I'm trying, like my prayer life is amazing. My worship life is amazing. And like, I don't get it. And so again, people don't always see what's happening behind the closed doors. They don't see or know. And I'm actually pretty vocal about what that looks like because I want people to actually see and know.
You've been very transparent. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's huge though. That's huge.
And it's why I love when I bring people onto the Fit and Faith podcast, and I'll have to get you into the hot seat, is like the recognition that I want to know the dirty. I want to know the messy. I want to know the trial and tribulation. One, so you can become a real, raw, relatable person to help other people out of those trenches that you mentioned, but also to know that, like, again, God gets the glory in the next step, but we have to activate. He didn't tell Peter, stand in the boat and watch me walk on water. He called him to put his feet out of the water to prove how miraculous he is. And people always are in presence in the understanding of being, you know, I'm a human being, not a human doing. Learn to be present, learn to be still. Being still is actually activation because you have to learn how to meditate. You have to learn how to be quiet. I have to calm everything else. I have to learn how to breathe. I have to learn how to pray, and I have to learn how to be quiet. And so there's actually a lot of doing in the being. And people think that if I just sit here, the blessing, the overflow is going to come because I'm on my knees in worship every single day. God wants to meet you in that place, friend, but he wants to meet you when you're in the driveway. He wants to meet you when you're at the gas station. He wants to meet you when you're in the line, right? So this was actually something you said it a couple of times. So, and the first time I thought about it, I didn't mention it because we just kept moving, but said it again about the sunglasses. And I said about at the beginning, all about like multi-passionate and my passion for people to remain in that space.
Yes.
And I always talk about hats, and I'm not wearing one today, but I usually am. I love wearing hats, and people always talk about the multiple hats that we wear in our life, which you're giving the same reference to, this multiple sunglasses. Yes. However, when you have multiple sunglasses to choose from, that means at any given point of your day, you should be wearing one or none. Maybe you're sleeping. However, I really believe that it's more of an all-encompassing one hat. It's a sunglass that is actually like a trifocal, right? Or however many focal points.
That's a really cool way to think about that. I love
because,
that.
Because listen, I'm sitting here right now talking to you as a fellow podcaster, as a business coach, as a fellow sister, as a Christ follower, as a mom. I'm still thinking about my kids. Every time I mention them, I'm like seeing their little faces. I'm still a mom right now in this moment. I am still a wife. My rings are on my hand. And I'm thinking about, I couldn't be here without his support. He's at home homeschooling, right? And so I don't take glasses off and put glasses on and show up for you like this. I show up in the raw, in the real. I got microneedling yesterday, so my face is peeling and red and I'm not wearing makeup. And it just is what it is.
Oh, you're the best.
So it's like recognizing that, like, I could have instead been like, I'm not going on camera today. Like, let's make this a non-visual. Like, no, like, this is life. This is who I am. And I didn't wash my hair this morning, but I put dry shampoo in, and my jeans, you know,
best friend, literally. Sorry. That's on the side note, guys, just saying.
It's so true. So it's recognizing that you get to be all of who you are every single minute. So steward all of those fashionable pieces that you want to use as an analogy, steward them well, and steward them at the same time. And so it's not me creating balance in my life. I don't believe in balance. I don't think that that's a thing. I think that there's are seasons of life where other things are going to take precedence. I do believe in alignment. Yes. I really believe that you have to have a mental, physical, soulful, spiritual, physical alignment at all given times. Absolutely. If you sway out of alignment vertically, of course, first, there's no way for that overflow horizontally to exist. And so in my becoming story in that time where that 3 years where I was putting life to the side and actually living in tandem with Jesus versus in tandem with people and the secular mindset of being, I learned about alignment. I learned about my physical well-being and how I had to steward that in a way different way than I'd ever been taught. I was sexually abused when I was little and didn't ever actually like talk about it. I suppressed it so much that but it came out in so many parts of my life. And I didn't actually even know or have the overwhelming flood of remembrance until I was 29 in this season. And so I had to deal with life, right? I had to unpack all of the components of who I am and understand that my physical being, which I had always chosen to view as a piece for a man, I was really just thinking that I was a tool.
Oh.
I had to come into alignment and loving my body for the first time, but to realize that it wasn't about my size or my weight or a scale or any of those things. It was about the physical being of myself and how that was beautiful and how God looked at me in my eyes in those moments. And he does to you too. So that's just one piece. Cause I went to therapy, y'all. Clearly I went to therapy. I had to. So that's my mental health. That's realizing what that means. I was in church. I was at every given thing. I was in the word. That was my spiritual alignment. Then you have your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's what your soul is. So when somebody's talking about their soul, it's your mind, your will, and your emotions. It's the understanding of that emotional intelligence. Why do I respond that way? Why do I feel this way? You guys, doing the work, actually being, is really hard.
It's so dirty. There's so many
coping mechanisms that society even deems normal. Like I was shopping all the time and then I'd have buyer's remorse. And to the outside looking in, I had more cool things, right? So why is that bad? Let's talk about there's alcoholism is an easy one. I haven't had a sip of alcohol in almost 2 years, me and my husband both. And I don't think alcohol is bad, but there's a lot of pieces to it that can be bad.
Yes.
I've seen alcoholism in my life. It was a part of my story from generational curse, and I don't want it to affect my children.
That's huge.
It's just recognizing that life is hard. There's nothing glitz and glam about it. And no matter if I have the number one podcast in the world, the reason that's going to happen, it's going to happen with Speak It to Life, is because I am allowing conversations like this to exist. And there are people like you who are coming on them to be transparent as well.
Oh, that's so huge. And it's because we're showing up, you guys. It's not showing up perfect. It's embracing the imperfection of our humanity to bring honor and glory to God. And that's the most empowering thing that life can ever give you. And I think it's so important, especially for women in this state of the game, to hear this, because as a modern woman today, you work. Yeah, that doesn't work. You don't work, that doesn't work. If you work part-time, well, that's kind of half-assed. Like, you can't win in the eyes of society. And I am so done with it, because I'm a young chick and I'm like, this is not the way that life is supposed to be written. It's not meant, your life is not to be written by those around you. It is supposed to be written by the one who created you. Mm. And you actually read and discover and continue, evolving along the journey, right? So it's one of those things where I want to get the dirty, honest opinion of what it's like been for you, stepping into, kind of the space. And I always like to illustrate it for the people that I talk to, like imagining you're entering, the round table of King Arthur. And, typically it was just the knights of the round table. Here you're entering as the lady of the house. And it's like, no, this is my place. I am bringing all of my femininity, my power, my grace, and my knowledge to the table, because it is valued by the one that sent me. And I have a presence that is needed here. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you come? I can feel that power in you right now, but how did you come to embrace that and let that shine through you? Because I think so many women are being blocked into what society is dictating. Like I said earlier, how did you set yourself free from that prison?
So I had to let go of a lot of relationships who kept me in that prison. And some of which were seasonal, and I let go of them for a season while I got healthy, while I got well. Some of them were intimate relationships, like my mom or my sister or my brother. It was painstaking. It was terrible. Like, I love my nieces and nephews. I want to be with them every minute of the day like they're my own. Same with my siblings, same with my mom, same with my dad. But I had to get right with myself, and I had to understand what leaving and cleaving actually meant. So when I stepped into the next piece of who am I going to be, I surrounded myself with an inner circle of people, one who believed in the actual me that I was created to be and would also affirm and call that out of me if I chose to do something different.
Ooh.
And so I gave them access to my raw, to my real, to my desires, to my hopes, to my dreams. And I said, listen, like, I give you full permission, one, to pray over me because I need it every second, but Amen. Two, to tell me if I'm walking out of unison to what you believe my calling is. Let's have a conversation about it. Write me when I'm wrong. Be a sister, be a friend, be a father, be a spouse that I can rely on at any given point, and do so out of love. And that's the people that I chose to be around me. When I step back into the entrepreneurial space, which is where I'm thinking at this point in my life, the King Arthurs exist, because, and sometimes that space could be the church, and there's this suppression of women voices in some communities. I'm really grateful to be in a community that that's not the case. And there are women on the rise every single day as incredible speakers of the gospel and preachers and teachers and evangelists and all of the other things. But it was in the entrepreneurial space where I could sense that, like, you don't belong here. This is a man's world. Yeah. And so the breakthrough was the continual confidence of really putting confidence in other people, other women, and watching them shine. So a heartbeat of mine, it's a part of my mission, is to illuminate. And it's not me illuminating. I'm not Tinkerbell. I'm not giving you fairy dust, right?
And darn it!
I wish I did. I wish I could, but I don't.
All good.
But I do have access to somebody and his ability to make you shine. And so being connected to women and actually making the choice to not stand in the secular world of entrepreneurship, but to let God be the guiding light of my business, and to put that name, Christian, in front of Business Coach, was a hard decision. Ooh, I struggled with it. I toiled with it, not because I didn't love Jesus, but because I thought in comparison, what are other people going to think of that? Is that going to validate me? Is that going to lose my validation, my accreditation? Are people going to think that that's a joke? Is it wrong that I'm charging money and I'm not poor and broke and a ministry?
Oh, that's a big one.
Right?
Okay. It's hang on. Can terrible. I pause you for just
yes.
a second?
Yes.
Okay. For the Christian business owner, you do not have to be broke in your business because you're Christian. It is not like you are worth every cent and penny that the market charges. And just because of your faith, you do not need to succumb to what your standards of giving of your, like, no. Please give me
how
more.
Much more do I get to tithe if I make more? How much more do I get to sow into other people because I make more?
To bless.
And yes. And think about the massive transition of prodigal son, right? I'm like literally the prodigal daughter. I went, I greedily took the money and I said, I'll do this and I'll make more on my own. Meanwhile, the other brother is staying there just stewarding the thing that he is given. When I come back to God, he's like, I still want you to have the ring and the robe. And he let me have it back. The differentiating factor is that I worked for it. And he gave it to me freely because his love is free. His grace is free, all of those things. But the overflow exists out of obedience. The overflow exists out of discipline. And so just realizing that as I stepped into this season and I said, okay, God, what is this grace for my space? Which is what my pastor told me. He said, whether you choose to be a secular business coach or whether you choose to be a Christian business coach, God's going to give you grace in the space that he desires and carved out for you already. So when you're thinking of that puzzle piece that you alluded to earlier, and you're like, I want to go in that corner because that looks fun. That's not your story. That you don't get to make that choice. And
so it's
already been created where you're going to be. But what's really important, just like when you're creating a puzzle and you're doing the outside border, who are the people connected to you? What does that inner circle look like? Because without that strong inner circle, you shift and you change and you twist and you don't know which way is up because you have nobody there to lock you in to the truth. And so I just truly believe that the way that you do it is you have an inner circle that believes in you, that steps in stride with you. You hire people that are in that same space as you, and you surround yourself with people that are where you want to go.
Oh, so good. Proximity is power, and we actively choose that every single day in, you know, every moment, every meeting, who you find yourself aligned with. And it's so, so important. And it's funny because it's, you know, even in loving your neighbor as yourself, some of the people that I've worked with, we don't believe the same thing, but having that understanding that I respect you, I respect the choices, and I'm still here and I still care for you. I still want the best for you. So we're saying, guys, you know, in all areas of your business, choose wisely, be smart, but also realize that you could be the inspiration for someone else based on how you treat them, stepping forth in love. Offering a hand in love and blessing, because you are abundant and you realize that the more you receive, the more you can give. And it's not what can I do for me? It's what can we give before we go? And I think that's just so, so incredible. And we're coming to the end of our time, you guys. I could talk to this lady all day long, but I want to make sure that if you haven't found her podcast, haven't found her online, you know exactly where to follow up with this queen. Where do they find you, Tamara?
All right. You can find me on Instagram. DM me there. I love to chat. It's tamara.andress. I'm also on Clubhouse. If you've jumped onto the Clubhouse, you've got to find me there.
We haven't even talked about that yet.
Keep going. I know. I'm dropping bombs over here at the end. You got to come find me, Tamara. Andress, and it's tamaraandress.com. The Fit and Faith podcast is where you can hear more raw, real stories of other people. And so I'd love for you to do that, as well as business tips, which is just Core Talk with Tamara on Saturdays. If you guys are looking to start a business, if you have a passion, if you have multiple passions, I am your go-to Christian business coach, where I can really help illuminate that from the inside out and bring it to life. So I've got free trainings all over the internet. Go find those first. But if you're really ready to take that next step, I would love to chat and learn more about how you can activate today to do so.
Oh my gosh, you guys, she's got the whole ladder. So wherever you are in your life or business, there's something that you probably need, and Tamara probably has it for you. So definitely give her a follow. Definitely give her a review on her show and let her know how much you love her, because I love her too. So without further ado, Tamara, I have one last question for you, and that's what piece of encouragement or advice would you leave for people moving forward into 2021? 2020 was a mess, but our mess can be our message. And what would you encourage people to embrace as they embark on this new chapter of life?
Oh, that's such a loaded question. There's so many good things that I want to say, but honestly, my spirit is telling me to share, to stay hydrated. And what does that mean?
I'm winning.
Good. I love it.
Keep going.
I mean, really thinking mind, body, soul, right? From all of those pieces, like drink the dang water, because it's really important for you.
Heck yeah.
But it helps with mental clarity as well. And the spiritual hydration of Jesus, which is the overflow, which is the existing of having living water running through you. It's the only place to be. It's the best place to be. And no matter what's happening, you are the tree rooted next to the water. If you're next to the water, you're never going to run dry. But if you are anywhere else, if you're planting somewhere that's not next to a stream, you're going to end up whisking away, my friend. And I don't want to see that for you. I've tried it.
Oh, good, you guys. And that was just one piece of advice. She probably has got other pieces of advice on that podcast, so you should go check it out.
I so appreciate it. You got to come on next.
I'm so excited. Oh, yes, you guys. But thank you so much for tuning into the show. Tamara was just outstanding. And for more incredible stories, be sure to tune in next time. Without further ado, Tamara, thank you so much.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
So good.
If you learned anything from this show, make sure you leave a review and check out the description to join our community and grab some free resources. And make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode of Virtually Limitless.